Okay, it's day two of the 2011 Newark and Not Show, the official start of the show season in so many ways. We're actually waiting to have a gate opened here, but as chance would have it, if there is such a thing as chance, we've been delighted to actually connect with one of the judges for this fine event. And your name, sir?
John Hendy.
John, good to actually connect with you. Now, what are you actually judging today?
I'm judging Welsh Mountain Ponies and Welsh Section B Ponies.
Now, I've certainly noticed that the level of competition in all of the shows is quite phenomenal. We've been covering various shows for about 5-6 years now, and it's always good to see that level. Livestock entries this year are very much at an all-time high, I believe, for Newark and Notts. What are your views on the show itself?
Well, I have judged here. Well, actually, I haven't judged it in Newark and Notts, but I did judge some driving, carriage driving a couple of years ago, and I can't, well, not a couple of years, some years ago now, and I can't really remember much about the show, you know, as the setup is like, you know.
The role of the judge is such a crucial sort of part of the whole thing. What do you look for when you're actually sorting out, you know, the winners from the also rounds?
Well, I mean, there's loads of judges on the panel, and everyone doesn't like the same pony, but I like a pony that's alert, you know, like it's going to a wedding, not going to a funeral, sharp, you know, turned out professionally, you know, and trimmed up nice and turned out, and I like really good movers. They got the move for me, you know. I like to see them with a good length of rein, a nice head, a nice tail set. I don't want to see their tail, you know, down low. I want to see a nice tail set and a nice overall picture, you know, that catches your eye.
Which makes perfect sense. Now, from your accent, I suspect, well, you remind me of the time when we covered badminton, because that's where we sort of go southwest for that sort of thing. Are you in the sort of Bath, Bristol region?
Well, I was born not very far from badminton, the village called just outside Chipping Sodbury. But I live in Raglan now, in South Wales, just into Wales. I've been there about 37, 38 years, but I still haven't lost my accent.
Well, no, indeed. And I must admit, when we talk about villages around Bamerton, I've always got a fondness for, I think it's Tiddlywink that's actually around in one of the villages there. So it's quite astounding. So do you get over to Bamerton? I mean, is that a regular or is this?
Actually, when I lived in Gloucestershire, I used to ride my bike to Bamerton or Straws, because I've had a pony since I was 5 years of age, all my life, like. But I haven't actually been to badminton for quite a number of years. I've been living in Wales because the Duke of Beaufort's chauffeur, I used to work with him on the building. He was a patron decorator, because I'm a joiner by trade, and he's a patron decorator, and I used to go up, and of course I could get him for nothing, and he'd just walk in, like, you know.
I was going to say, if you're a joiner, we actually had a different kind of door here. You could probably actually sort of open up the gate for us, but it looks as though those padlocks are fairly heavily sealed here.
Well, I was just thinking perhaps we could lift them off the hinge.
It's a thought, but I'm not sure how Adrian Johnson will take that. Anyway, life continues. Listen, it's been fabulous just shooting the breeze with you, good sir, because I know oft times we always like to get a few judges' views on there, but sometimes once you guys actually start, and I mean, actually just talk us through the schedule today, because you're pretty much full on once you actually get in there.
Yeah, well, I start at 8:30 on the first section, and of course it all depends what the entries are like, and how big the classes are, how long it's going to take me, and then I start the second section, which is the Section B ponies, at 11:30, and obviously the same occurs there. But like the Royal Welsh now is our nearest show, and I judge the Royal Welsh. I've judged it twice. Actually, I'm doing it this year. I'm doing the Welsh ponies in harness, in like a, not like private driving, but in the wagons. Instead of running with a pony, they sit down and drive them in a little light vehicle called a wagon. And when I judged it the second time, I had 600 and odd ponies to judge in 2 days, and you could have a class like of 90, you know, and that takes an hour now. But at the Royal Welsh, they're all onto time, and what they do, you see the ponies just trot out, which is not really fair because you don't see them from behind, but you just see them trot around the ring, and then you tell the steward in the ring if you want them kept in a grout. So then they split them to two groups, and then perhaps they might keep 30 back in the ring. The rest got to leave the ring, which is a little bit unfair really, because they pay their entry fee the same as everybody else. And then when you see the ones you've kept in, you've only seen them trotting from the side elevation, but when you get them in front of you and see them going away, you think, oh well, I kept this in front, it's going a bit like Charlie Chaplin, like, you know, it's not going straight and true, like, which is a bit unfair, but but they're always pushing you at the Royal Welsh, you know, to keep on a time schedule. And I actually I am a fast judger. I mean, some people take you know, a lot longer than me to judge, but I can get through them pretty quick, like, you know.
I think much appreciated, because obviously there are so many sort of things that are taking place that once judges' thoughts come through, it's always nice to get that done and dusted. And finally, we often sort of say that with respect to the Newark Knots in particular, if the beasts, as we refer to them, actually do well in this particular one, they often go around on the show circuit and sort of end up doing things like the Lincolnshire Show, the Great Yorkshire Show, maybe the Royal Highland, a few others. Yeah. Is that something that you find as well?
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well,
again, it all depends on the judge, you see. Like, you can have, I'm like a pony up, you're perhaps champion. And there's, I mean, there's Welsh Mountain ponies, people breed them, which have got very freaky little heads. No length of rein, they can't move. But there's certain people, and like, as foals, people pay a lot of money for them. But they never seem to mature into, like, a right, like, as an adult, like a stallion or a broodmare. They never, mature into that sort of good pony. But there is that sort of judge, the pony I would like, they wouldn't like, you know. And the same with me. Like, I mean, somebody put them, what I call froggy head ponies up, I mean, I wouldn't look at them, you know.
Well, it's been a pleasure sort of sharing some thoughts with you, yourself. We still await the gate. Of course, we could actually spend the rest of the day actually just waiting for the gate to be open. So who knows what could be happening. For the moment, many thanks indeed.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, well, the great news about being early risers and in the press office at a nice sort of bright, sparky day is not only do you get to meet some charming security officers, but you also get to speak to some of our other colleagues who are covering the show. In this case, ace photographer, and your name is?
Roy Fox.
Roy, good to actually connect with you, good self. We've just been sort of sharing the interesting experiences we've had about gates which were locked and then not locked and then security and all the rest of it. It's fun times, eh?
What do I say?
Yeah, exactly, we'll hold it there.
It's the worst show I think you can come to get in.
Well, I'm sure when Adrian is listening to this, he might sort of have something to say about that. It's great stuff. Once you're in there, of course, it's marvellous. Now, you're here to photograph the heavy horses, yes?
That's correct, yes. And I'm always early, and I'm always in trouble trying to get in the gate. Yesterday morning it wasn't undone at 6:30, and this morning it wasn't undone at 6:30.
This is, of course, one of the key things, because Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM have been covering these shows for the last 6 or 7 years in various ways. Now, I've learned from experience here that you get some really cracky interviews by actually getting here nice and early. You can go around and catch up with the exhibitors and sort of things. So that kind of means you need to be on the show ground probably around about 6 a.m., 6:30 a.m., etc. And it's a bit of a challenge if obviously all areas are blocked off.
Well, the heavy horses, they always start very early, 8:30 in the morning. So as I came down the road this morning at just after 6, I picked my hoot at several people. They were washing the horses out along the just inside the gate and that, and that's the time they start.
Yeah, precisely, exactly. So now, you talked about obviously covering a whole range of stuff. It was over 20, nearly 30 shows you cover every year?
Nearly 30 shows, yes. From up north, down, I go to Wales 3 times, and I've done this for about 25 years.
Which is fantastic. So in fact, I might have seen you in the heavy horse ring yesterday, getting sort of full sort of credit for doing ace photographing and various other bits and pieces. How's the standard at Lincoln been so, at Lincoln and Newark and Knott's been so far?
Really, we don't start until today. We had some turnouts in yesterday, but they were slightly down. But today we're hoping for better things. We have the 3 breeds here today, so we're hoping that there's about 40 entries. And normally if we get 20, 25 out of 40, we're doing well.
And something I was asking a couple of photographers at the badminton show this year, and you may or may not have an answer to this, but is there a secret to actually capturing that moment when you're in the ring, when you're sorting things through, when you've got a heavy horse actually out there? Because I suppose you don't have to worry about them bolting, really.
No, they do that. It's not many years ago that we had one come out the ring here. I was in the ring at the time, and I got out the ring pretty quick. But no, on the whole, they're fairly good. It's just if they get a horse fly or something and they don't like it and they do a little bit of a jiggle, but no, they're pretty kind.
And do you find in terms of the photography that as we move into a digital age, I mean, I tend to swear by my own digital little pocket camera at this particular stage, is that something which has made your job easier or less easy? I mean, I recall talking to folk at the Great Yorkshire Show where they still mourn the passing of the magnesium flare.
Well, you've talked to the wrong person because I'm still not digital. I will not go digital.
So why is that?
I yet to see photographs as good as mine. And when I see digital photographs as good as mine, I will go digital.
Well, that says it all, which is fantastic, proving that the craftsmanship is still very much there. How do people get in touch with you if you think this is the man we need to actually book for our show to actually do some photographs?
Well, the shows now, they just contact me every year. Most of the shows do. Some I have to apply for, but most of the shows know that I go every year, and they email me and they give me send me tickets, and that's it.
Fantastic, yeah. Brilliant stuff. So, will you be up at the Lincolnshire Show and the Great Yorkshire Show this year?
I have to be at the Lincolnshire Show, the Yorkshire Show, the Cheshire Show, as many shows as you can think of.
I'm sure we'll catch up with them there somewhere along the line, and we'll hopefully sort of do a sort of year in the life of your good self.
Pardon?
We might even look to do a year in the life of your good self.
Well, I don't know about that.
When you actually hear and read the actual words, it's showtime, as the first few words in the Adrian Johnston introduction, you know that good things are around. And as always, Adrian, it's a delight to be able to connect with you on yet another fabulous Newark and Nottinghamshire show weekend.
As ever, you're very kind and generous, Alex, but delighted. There's a really nice atmosphere out there, and we really hope to see as many people as possible today.
I commented yesterday that I felt the buzz had returned to the Newark and Notts showground. Not that the buzz had ever actually left the Newark and Notts show, but, you know, there is that sense here as I was wandering through, seeing everything from sheep shearers from New Zealand right the way through to the delights of people spinning their own way, nature works, llamas, alpacas, a whole range of things. There's really some massive, wonderful things happening here.
Yeah there are, and very, very pleased to actually welcome quite a few new attractions, first one being the sweaty guys of the Farriers. They're up there. It's been heaving up there, as I hope you saw yesterday. They come from all over, because the good news is these Farriers competitions are actually continuous professional development for the Farriers themselves. So that's really good. Newark Business Club, they brought about 30 attractions and stands in there. Once more, the atmosphere's been super, and we've had everything from Tutor Eid School actually performing beautifully with their choir and their adult choir, through to various other dance displays and whatnot. Down at the Yellow Gate, for the first time, we're very pleased to welcome sponsors the International Antiques and Collectors Fairs, of course, who hold six of Europe's largest antiques fairs here on Newark Showground. Anyhow, they've got a marquee full of at least 20 stalls, and I understand that they were doing good trade yesterday as well. Over by the Working Horses at the back of where we are in the Cedric Ford is the Working Horse and Sawmill displays, chainsaw carving going on there. So everything from the traditional to the modern, just in that one area. I've just literally come from Messam's Wall of Death, and I've also gone to see the Vintage Tractor Boys, who've got a superb display down there as well. So add to 1,200 animals that are on here, entered into over 5,000 entries, and we feel we've really turned the corner.
Very much so. Now, I said earlier, I may not have a glamorous assistant working with me today, Adrian. Of course, at this very moment, we actually have the return of Lou Bevin. Lou, our countryside correspondent extraordinaire. How are you, Lou?
Morning, sir. How are we all?
We're in fine fettle, so to speak. Anyway, questions for Adrian from yourself.
Yes, I've just heard over the loudspeaker system, what's the Beef Expo coming up in May, please? Could you tell me more?
Yeah, sure, Lou. On the 25th and 26th of May, we've got the National Beef Expo coming here. On the 25th, it takes place down at Newark Cattle Market, and then there's a dinner in Kelham Hall on the night of the 25th, and then the National Expo takes place here. I think there's about 150 trade stands. Of course, this is really quite a specialist event for the beef industry, but we'll have over 200 entries, I believe, about 140, again, animals entered. That is a specialist show for the beef industry. Perhaps it's their showcase for the year.
Right. Is this a beef on the hoof, or which? Yeah, we're not talking hoof to hook or anything like that. It's just
no.
Straight beef, and competitors from nationwide.
That's absolutely right. It's the National Beef Expo, so I know that competitors are from Scotland, Cornwall, and Essex, I've been told so far by Ewan Emsley, the organiser. They then have specialist seminars and the like going on. So it's really a business-to-business event, but if people would like to come along and see some of the cream of the nation's beef animals, then the 26th of May at Newark Showground is the place to be.
Just ahead, of course, of the Carrington Rally, which, again, this thing, the showground is in use pretty much year-round now, Adrian, which is to your credit, clearly.
Thank you. And that is what we've been trying to develop. We actually have close links with Carrington. They help us out by nominating people, and Strayed Sounds come from there to our vintage tractor show, 12th and 13th of November this year. Only yesterday, actually, I was showing around a gentleman who wants to bring a 5,000-person summer event here, but we can't fit him in. So a pleasant negative.
Very much so. Interesting thing today, it's the first time we're actually having the handover from the outgoing show president to the incoming show president. Normally used to take place in December, but you're having it in the main ring today.
Yes, that's actually the initiative of Tony Strawson, our president this year. One that obviously we agree with and applaud. We think that the president puts a lot into the show. And as we're sat here, you can see his huge marquee straight down the lovely main ring there. Basically, he will be handing over to Mitch Stevenson at around about 4:30. That's after the Grand Parade, and he will have presented 7 agricultural grants by that stage and no less than 23 medals for a total of 967 years worth of service to agriculture. So we really hope that doing that in the main ring is a suitable accolade to the President as well as all of the people he's just honoured.
It's gone all very quiet on the whole thing. We'll come back to Lou later. We're heading off to speak to Richard Fox, hopefully shortly now. Overall, it looks as though it's going to be another success. Numbers are up. Everything is looking well. I know we're floating the idea, Adrian. I was just talking to our ace press officer, your ace press officer, of course, Wendy Packham, about this possibility of maybe sometime later in the year getting what I can only consider to be the holy trinity of show directors of yourself, Nigel Pulling, and Mark Farmer to actually maybe share with us on a kind of discussion programme on Siren FM. Would you be up for that?
I certainly would, Alex. Anything to help you? Not a problem at all. I'm very pleased that you had holy and not unholy trinity there.
as if we'd go anywhere down that line. As the day proceeds, clearly we're looking ahead. You mentioned some of the fantastic events that are upcoming from that point of view. Planning for the Newark and Notts 2012 will already be starting. Good times to be in the rural field, you feel? I mean, that sort of buzz we talked about at the start of this whole piece, is it really sort of beginning to blossom and things are saying, it's okay?
I think there's mixed messages there, to be absolutely honest with you. I'm delighted that there are a lot more smallholders who are actually interested in growing their own. I think the NFU have been running an excellent campaign for many years now about buy local. It saves fuel. We then know we have better traceability. We know where the food's actually coming from, and we know that we've got some of the highest food production standards in the world. So I very much welcome those sort of developments. But I think things are still a bit tight, many in the agricultural industry are finding that their next generation perhaps isn't coming through in quite the same way. Here in Nottinghamshire, it's difficult to return former coal mining areas to arable production. Of course, when you have a large conurbation as we have, and also the Sherwood Forest, then we are somewhat limited. And I can say that we have 25% of the farms in Lincolnshire here in Nottinghamshire. But with several leaders of the NFU and national committees, indeed EU commissioners from Nottinghamshire, I do think Nottinghamshire agriculture punches well above its weight.
And certainly it's a strapline that Lou Bevan actually coined. We always give our origins, of course, think farmyards, not...
Farmyards, not...
Food miles.
Food miles, correct. A long time ago.
Adrian, it's been fabulous just shooting the breeze, so to speak, once again. We look forward to speaking with you again in the very near future. Again, another cracking show. I've lost count. How many Newark and Notts shows are we actually up to now?
We're up to 128, and this is my 14th. I've been here 15 years, but of course we had the very sad year of 2001 when we lost due to the foot and mouth crisis. But I do hope that numbers will be up today, and I most of all hope that everybody that comes goes away and tells people just what a good time they've had, because if you can't have a good time here today, then I don't know when you can.
Precisely. I mean, it's a weekend with the FA Cup final, the delights of the Eurovision Song Contest, all sort of status quo performing at Lincoln. What can you say?
Whatever you want.